number nine. This has been also pulled, so why don't we hear from Dr. McGowan on this, and then staff can respond.
Can I make a couple comments?
Yes.
I want to raise or point out a couple of things. First, there's a typo on the, one of the very first pages of the permit.
And this is item 10, you're referring to?
Item 10, Montecito, yes.
Right.
Page one of the permit has an order expiration date, and it should be Peter, can you point that out again?
I just want to clarify, we're talking about item nine.
You're right.
Item Montecito, yeah.
Yes, it's on the first page of the permit. It should have an expiration date of January 2018 instead of 2017.
Well, mine shows the correct date, so maybe you're looking from an older version.
Mine says 2017.
So the Montecito item nine.
Is this on the yellow supplemental sheet?
First white page.
Well, it's on the white paper in your binders.
Got
right
it.
After the blue sheets.
Got it.
Lower right-hand corner.
Right.
Page one.
Can you show me that, Peter?
Yeah.
Does everyone have it?
Yep. And so that date should be what?
2018?
Okay.
And I can consider that an errata if you make a motion to pass it. I would just add that errata.
Okay. Yes, so that should say 2018. I also want to point out that, and I would have pointed out this later, but I'll just do it now since we're talking about Montecito. In the enforcement report, there are four violations listed for Montecito. Three of them are incorrect. There's only one actual violation. And the second, third, and fourth one listed under Montecito's name are actually misfiled. They should have been under City of Monterey. Mm. So I want to point that out and make sure everyone understands that those are not Montecito violations.
Okay. Dr. McGowan.
Just to clarify, I think Dr. McGowan, we were asked for and you approved 5 minutes. Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
That's fine.
Thank you all for coming. I realize you're also volunteers, and I appreciate your effort and time. I'll try to make this as brief as possible. What I wanted to do with Montecito is merely use it as a reflective item for all short, shallow outfall systems. There's a lot of information on the generation of antibiotic-resistant bacteria coming out of sewer plants. The University of California did some studies on Montecito where it showed that the effluent discharge from the short shallow outfall was actually circulating back to the beach. Fairly recent papers in the scientific journals are showing that sewer plants are now generating or at least passing out methicillin-resistant staph aureus, which is a rather nasty bug. We don't know that that's happening in Montecito because there's a lack of testing for these things. The typical single indicator test is actually not quite really telling what's there. Several plants have been tested with antibiotic-resistant genes, and these genes are coming out in, and this is out of recycled water, which means it goes through an extra layer of treatment. 10,000 to 100,000 specific resistant genes per milliliter. The data from the test at Montecito did show that there were bacteria that were coming from human beings reaching back to the beach. And the interesting thing about beach sand, especially when it's mixed with ground up kelp, is that it's an excellent medium for growth of bacteria. And so if you test the water column, you get one answer. If you test the sediment, you get huge answers as to what's actually there. I have come before the board before to suggest that a testing procedure be initiated, and we've all been having difficulty with that because it's not cheap. We've been doing testing since about 2004, 2005 with the two sewer plants here in Santa Barbara for recycled water. We're finding multi-drug resistant bacteria. I have a lot of information for you. I'm not sure you're allowed to take it. But for those who would be interested in reading about this, I'd be happy to leave it. But the point is that WIF and others are finding that the standard indicators are not telling you what's really there. And what's coming out could be a serious threat to public health. Now the water from Montecito sand, which is coming back about 50% of the time from that short shore outfall, has been shown to reach from Hammonds Beach all the way down to East Beach, which is a fairly large area of potential contamination with some serious pathogens of public health interest. And it's a new era in this water quality control business. The sewer plants themselves are basically, I think, on design 1920 or something like that, way before pharmaceuticals came out in mass, and certainly antibiotics. And so to rely as a public health review on what our current water quality standards are telling us, I think is a bit risky. WIF did a fairly major study on recycled water, which is something that receives a much higher level of treatment than just effluent. And they found that the typical standard did not protect public health. And so I thought this would be something, this is my area of interest. I have in the past said I'd be most happy to communicate and work with the board, and I think the board is well aware of that. I live in my little silo, so I seldom come out of it, but I would be very much interested in pursuing this if you guys want. So there you are.
Dr. McGowan, let me ask you this, because we've had this discussion before. I mean, you and I on the phone, and you've come before the board before.
Yes, sir.
With this item. Do you have a specific position with respect to this agenda item in the Montecito permit? Are you suggesting that we not adopt it, or are you just inviting discussion on these other items involving the fate of pathogens being discharged from sewer plants into the environment?
I think the latter, because it's gone. Okay. Your system has moved a very large amount of information forward, which is this permit. I think we can catch it next time around.
Well, okay. So you're okay with us adopting the permit?
Yeah, I don't have it. It's a very well-run plant. Oh, but the standards that control it are something that needs to be reviewed.
Okay. Now back to the discussion you and I have had, and I think has come up when you've come to the board, is that we're following testing requirements that are imposed statewide.
Right.
And so what you're highlighting, and I don't discount the potential significance of some of these things that you're picking up. I mean, it's not recent that, you know, we've had lots of questions about the fate of pathogens in the environment. Mm-hmm. And this goes back 30 years.
Yes, it does.
And that's how long I've been aware of it.
Yeah.
And the testing and monitoring for these items has been evolving.
Mm-hmm.
I think the discussion needs to take place really at the state water board level.
It's been brought to them.
Right.
Yes.
And so that's really where change is going to take place with this, because it affects all the ocean dischargers in California.
Yeah, there's something like 17 short channel outfalls.
I understand, yeah. So, I don't know, does the board have any suggestions on for Dr. McGowan, other than, I mean, I know you've taken this up with the state water board before and probably have not been successful.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I suggest also from, you know, scientific standpoint that we're chasing a moving target, because the accuracy of laboratory testing equipment is making many, many faults. Today we're looking, tracing parts per trillion.
Yes, I understand.
All right? This, you could not do this 10 years ago in a lab.
Mm-hmm.
You could not. So, at least not in a commercial lab. So, likewise, right now we're finding some bottled water where the water quality is inferior to drinking water of some municipalities because of the accuracy of equipment. So I don't think it's a fault of, well, you're looking at 1920 technology. I think there's a lot of new findings, discoveries that are being made because of our ability to look at a much smaller scale, you know, some of the constituents in water. Yes, the issue of pathogen has been, you know, as you indicated, that was red flag 30 years ago. But I think in terms of the overall, you know, principles of discharge and water quality, I think the challenge is that right now in recent years, and you're probably in better position than me to speak about it, if we look at the last decade, there's been huge amount of progress made in, you know, the identification of constituents in water.
Well, Dr. Wolf, if I might, in the late 70s, there were two things that went on. EPA itself did a fairly major study that documented the existence and passage of antibiotic-resistant bacteria through sewer plants. About the same time, the Congress gave a lot of grant monies for improving sewer plants, and a great deal of that money went to expand the reach of a plant rather than in the design to deal with water quality. And now we have an administration that may be putting out large amounts of bailout money for infrastructure. What I would like to see is that the regional boards who seem to have voice with the higher level regulatory agencies be aware that unless we substantially change these plants to acknowledge that they are putting out these levels of pathogens and their genetic material, that if we just pour more concrete in the same way we've been pouring it for a long time, we will not deal with the impending water quality problems. And we're losing antibiotics at an incredible rate, and we can't afford to do that. At some point, surgeries won't be an option. The risk of infection will be so great that many of the surgeries that are now available would just be off the board. It's just information that I think is important, so that when you are talking with levels above you, that you are aware that this is going on and that something really needs to be done. There are extant technologies out there that could deal with some of this. There are people like Amy Pruden back at Virginia Tech who is looking at how to tweak existing plants so that we don't put out as much of this pathogenic material as we have.
Okay, Dr. Hunter, you had a comment or question?
Yes, I thank you for bringing your perspective and your thoughts to us, and we find it always helpful to understand where science is leading us in terms of our understanding of these issues and really defining these issues far more clearly. And I agree with you, and I share frustration that one tool that we have, the Ocean Plan, has, in my view, has lagged in keeping pace with the many challenges of protecting marine environments, and including especially beaches, and how tidal circulation carries these contaminants in and out of these very public areas. I also want to comment that we do have one agency that is really focused on these types of problems, and I know you're aware of it, but I just want to bring it out and add it to your comments. That is CENCOOS, and at the moment I'm challenged to remember what that acronym stands for, but I do understand that they have funded studies, including a study at PISMO, looking at not only human pathogens, but bird impacts of heavy populations of birds that, you know, hang out on piers and so forth. And they're finding that the public health system and methodology for monitoring contamination and beach closure days is also out of sync. That they're monitoring in a regular, consistent fashion that has nothing to do with high tide, low tide, and different other factors that have never been considered before. And so we are seeing this information being fed back to areas that rely on, for example, tourism and clean beaches and safe waters for swimming, as well as wildlife and marine life. So, you know, we greatly value the kind of knowledge that you bring into these discussions, and I hope that staff is also calling on you as we have the opportunity to engage in discussion in the long-term sense of how State Board leads in these policy changes that we all know are coming as a result of this greater ability to understand and define the problems and to assure that we're protecting public health. And I know that with your offer to, you know, be available to staff at different times, I expect that you will hear from them, because this is part of, if we have this tremendous knowledge and capacity to understand and define and explain what the issue is, how it looks, and why it's developing the way it is, and the trends that are associated with it that really validate these perspectives, and we're not applying it, then we're failing to use this tremendous knowledge that we have. So thank you for bringing it to us today, and I hope to follow up, and we hope to see you again.
Well, I would hope to have a long-term interaction with the board and the board members on this. I did submit quite a bit of information, but it's my understanding I was not within the time limit, so you didn't see it, but it's there if you're interested in reviewing it. I'll leave you some more if you would allow me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
so
very much.
How will you get this material? Since it missed the deadline, how does this material then move forward to us?
I think the board can, if you're willing to accept at this point, you can do that.
Sure.
Good. Very good. Thank you.
I have.
Thank you, Dr. McGowan.
Mr. Harris?
I have a comment. I think what is being talked about here is beyond our staff's ability and expertise to really delve into, and as the chairman said, it really is appropriate at the state and even the federal level.
Yeah.
When we start setting standards like this, especially when we're dealing with cutting edge issues,
right,
it is a long and costly process.
Yeah.
It can take years to establish these kinds of standards, I would suggest one avenue he might, if he hasn't already availed himself of, is the public comment period at the state board. Which is every meeting they have that. Also, the Southern California Coastal Water Research Project, SQRP, which does a lot of cutting-edge work for the state board, including some rapid indicator tests for bacteria and virus that they've been working on. They're a very talented group located in Costa Mesa. You might want to approach them and talk to them about it.
If I could add, that's why I mentioned CENCOOS, because they are also a link to federal agencies, and they are gathering this type of data as well as sponsoring research. So they're working with UC Santa Cruz, they're working with Cal Poly, and I know that the challenge that they have conveyed to me is in, A, getting visibility, so these municipalities understand that they have resources and they will help identify funding for studies that fall into this area of concern for public health and recreational uses of marine resources. So again, that's another one. I hope it's on our list too.
What I'd like to do is just have staff bring back to us in the EO report just some information on where is the State Board and EPA, US EPA, on the issue of the chemicals or constituents of emerging concern. And I know that the Region 6, the Santa Ana region, has been involved in some kind of blue ribbon campaign.
I want to make sure, constituents of emerging concern, or are we talking about what was brought up here today in terms of bacteria resistance?
Well, both, because they're talking, they're recycling wastewater in Region 6. And so all of these issues that Region 8?
Region 8.
Yeah, Santa Ana region.
Yes.
Okay, Region 8. And so all of these issues of what's in wastewater and how to really strip it out or neutralize it, that Blue Ribbon Committee has looked at that. And they're currently doing that with wastewater, injecting it into the ground in Region 8, and it's going into groundwater aquifers. So if staff could just educate us as to where is this discussion right now.
And one other point, DPH is in the process of developing regs with a grant from the State Board at the direction of Legislature Governor's Office to promulgate regulations for direct recharge into drinking sources,
right.
AQR sources. So we're a couple years away, but there will be regs where wastewater treatment plants, if they meet the criteria and the treatment levels, could pump water back into reservoirs and could pump it back into aquifers.
Okay. Well, I'd like staff, as part of the information you're going to give us, to tell us what is the agency regulatory response to the question of is there a concern for antibiotic-resistant bacteria getting into drinking water supplies or otherwise affecting human health? What is the response? So this will come up, Dr. McGowan, again in one of our agenda items, so you can look for that. And just look for that when it comes up, and then there'll be another opportunity for you to present information, to the board and talk about it. And we'll have more information.
Do you want this in the EO report, or do you want it as an agenda item where staff makes a presentation?
EO report would be fine.
Okay.
When you're still putting information in the EO report, that would be fine. Okay. Quickly, Dr. Hunter.
Connected to the internet, just so others who are interested. CENCOOS stands for the Central and Northern California Ocean Observing System, and they do have tremendous amounts of data available on their website, so you can look at your own beach and see what they know about it.
Question, Chair?
Yes.
On page 2 of the staff report, near the top of the page, the second dot bullet paragraph, it says effluent limitations, and then it lists several heavy metals and other pollutants. The limitations have been removed because of results from the reasonable potential analysis. The next paragraph says, but that for many of those same heavy metals, et cetera, that because no reasonable potential was determined, the frequency of monitoring required is being reduced to once per term. And my question is, firstly, why do they need to be monitored at all if there's no limitations.
I can give a shot at that. Most of those are in the list of what the EPA calls the priority pollutants, and we're required to evaluate whether any of those has the reasonable potential to cause an exceedance of water quality standards. And so we go through that analysis, and for those compounds there, it was determined that they don't. They're still on a list of priority pollutants, and they still have to be monitored. And we'll use that data again in 5 years to determine again if there's reasonable potential. So we need to continue to get the monitoring data to do the evaluation next time.
Okay. And what does endpoint 2 refer to?
If you really want to get into it, this...
No, that's okay. Maybe offline.
Well, the material in the permit, in the fact sheet, goes into exceedingly detail of exactly what the RPA, we call it, the reasonable potential analysis, goes through. So there's various endpoints, and then that determines whether it gets an effluent limit or not, whether we monitor it or not.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, Dr. Hunter, I do want to get to item 11 started before lunch, so okay. That's why I'm trying to move us along.
Okay.
Okay, but go ahead. It's a question about the actual permit.
I'm looking at staff report.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right.
So I noted that the conditions in the permit were also changed to be consistent with the California Southern Bite dischargers for testing BOD and sediments, and I was curious about that, especially in light of Dr. McGowan's report. We didn't get any information about what I don't think, if I missed it, if someone could point out to me where we see what the conditions are required for monitoring in sediments based on the Southern California Bite monitoring orders.
Ask Peter if he can answer that question.
Thank you, Peter.
Dr. Von Langen.
There are some parameters that are in other permits in our region and other regions that we have pointed out to us were not as restrictive as was in this permit, and the past data didn't show any issues for BOD or these other parameters that were removed. So we removed those, and I don't remember offhand what specific parameters are in those sediment monitoring requirements, but they're in the permit there.
So what is that referred to when they're talking about other Southern California Bite dischargers and the conditions that they're subject to? Where is that information? Do we have a table, or what do we have that shows what those permit conditions are?
I could probably get Brett Walker or Diane Gabriel, perhaps, can answer that better. I do not remember offhand. I remember looking at some other permits in our region and getting from them.
I understand that. I think what I'm asking is, how do I get a hold of that table? There must be a table or some specific description of what is being monitored in the Southern California Bite sediments. That's what I'm after.
If we can't do it today, we'll find it for you, and we'll
right.
send it to
that's
you.
What I'd like. Thank
okay.
you. Okay, perfect.
Okay. Don Gabriel, I do have your card, but I guess you're available to speak if needed. Okay. Any other board comments or questions on this? Okay. Well, we have a recommendation before us.
So moved.
Okay, to adopt the recommendation. And okay.
With the errata?
What's that?
With the errata.
With the errata, correct. With the date that was spoken about earlier.
Second.
Second from Mr. Jordan. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
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 All, any opposed? Okay, so the motion carries. Thank you very much. Before we move to item 11, let's take a quick break. Maybe 10 minutes.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I believe we still need to move the remaining item on the consent calendar.
You already did item 10 prior to item 9.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we did that. So we're at item 11. Let's take a 10-minute break, and we'll come back and start with item 11.